Tonight we look at chapter 12 of Hebrews, verses 28 and 29. Beautiful passage about God and how we are to have reverence for Him. So notice here in chapter 12 of Hebrews, the last two verses. The Bible says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." So reverence and godly fear is our title tonight. Lord, give us wisdom and your power, your presence as we open your precious word. Use it in our lives tonight, Lord, to minister to our hearts. And may Jesus be lifted up, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So he starts by encouraging us that we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now this, of course, can have a double meaning. When we're born again, we become part of the kingdom of God, which is the spiritual kingdom. But then eventually, when Jesus returns and then brings us back, we get to be part of the kingdom of heaven, which is a physical kingdom here on earth. We've received both of those kingdoms, and neither one can be moved. But as Christians, we will reign with Jesus Christ in this kingdom. As we know, we're told in Revelation 5:10, we'll reign with Him. In Revelation 26, we'll reign 1,000 years. But because we are in the church age, we have eternal life. We are children of God. All of our sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. We're protected by Christ. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. All of these things give us this assurance that our kingdom cannot be moved, that we are secure in our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, knowing these things, knowing that you're secure, that your kingdom is secure, your salvation is secure, what does he say? Let us have grace so that what? We may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So both of these things are God saying, this is how I want you to serve me. Reverence and godly fear. Now, reverence is one of those words you don't hear much anymore, but it's a Bible word. It's an important word. We get a glimpse of reverence in the book of Exodus. Let's go back there, chapter 3. Remember when God called Moses in the burning bush? Most of us know what God had to say to Moses, but this was really the first time that God demanded reverence from man in this sort of a way, was when he called Moses. Up to this point, he didn't have a lot of one-on-one interactions. You know, obviously he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. But after that, not a lot of one-on-one, a little bit with Noah. But notice here in Exodus 3, verse 5, he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." So take off your shoes, this is holy ground, not because of the ground, but because of God and God's presence. But he's demanding reverence there. And the Bible talks a bit about reverence in the Psalms. To go to Psalm 89. And as we think about it, what does this mean? This means to hold God in high esteem, to show him the honor that he is worthy of, to put him first. But it also is the absence of what the Bible refers to as like trifling or not being sober, but being flippant about our Christianity, our relationship with God. You know, you see that a lot of times in some of the TV stuff. People just ordering God around and just treating God like he's just a person rather than that he is the creator of the universe and he's everything and all powerful. Notice David here in Psalm 89:7, what he said, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." So God is to be had in reverence, to be held in the highest esteem, and to be always treated with complete honor and respect. That's what he's telling us here. So go over to Psalm 111 now. Psalm 111, verse 9, and we'll see it again. The Bible says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. So God not only says that we are to hold Him in reverence, but even to hold His name in reverence. So we all know what the opposite of that is, don't we? Taking God's name in vain. Which was one of the commandments in the Old Testament, wasn't it? The absence of reverence. One of the ways that's displayed is when we take God's name in vain. So it's serious. Because God is worthy of all reverence. And the Bible says even His name is reverent, is to be held in reverence. Now the contrast to that, again, is when we are too, I don't know, it's, I don't know what word to use, but flippant in our relationship. You know, even when we come to God in prayer, if you go to Psalm 51, David revealed a bit here about our hearts and what they should be like when we come to God in prayer. Of course, those who went to camp have memorized this verse. I'm sure they remember it. 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That word contrite, it means complete humility. The picture, it would be picture yourself laying on the floor on your face. That's contriteness. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to fall down. Because we'll be in the presence of complete righteousness and holiness and power. So we need to learn to be reverent in all of our interactions with God here on earth. And all of our interactions with His name. Because it's just as reverent as we read. So again, taking God's name in vain is serious. That's why it was one of the commandments. Go to Ephesians 5. And those in the workforce know what it's like to hear God's name taken in vain all the time. And you wonder, why is that? Why do people even go to all that trouble? Well, because the devil's God of this world. That's why. He hates God. And if he can get man to take God's name in vain, then that's what he'll do. Notice Ephesians 5, just as kind of the contrast here, verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. But notice he goes on to say, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. So he's saying, be careful. Be sober. And as a Christian, as a child of God, be reverent in our interactions with God. So we're to serve God, as we're seeing here in Hebrews 12, first of all with reverence, but then it goes on to say, and godly fear. Now those are two different things. Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear. The fear of the Lord is something we read about all through the Scriptures. But the fear of the Lord is something that can really help us in our walk. Go to Proverbs, if you will. We'll look at a few passages on the fear of the Lord and how God talks about all the ways that it will be a blessing to our walk. So go to 14:26 and 27 of Proverbs. Look what it says. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. So that's practical. That's revealing ways in which the fear of the Lord helps us. It gives strong confidence, gives our children a place of refuge. It's a fountain of life, and it protects us from the snares. All that is some of the benefits of fearing God. Now, Luke chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil." Now, why would the fear of the Lord cause people to depart from evil? Well, as Christians, we understand that if we choose to live an evil life as a Christian, there's an element of fearing God's chastisement, because it will come. It's genuine. Just as our children, as they're growing up, fear the rod as the consequences of disobedience, we should fear God's rod. And so the fear of the Lord can help us, as it says there, depart from evil. And then go to chapter 28 of Proverbs. This is just a sampling. There are so many verses on the fear of the Lord in the Bible. But Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." So God says it even brings happiness when we fear the Lord. So God says that we are to serve Him with reverence. In other words, hold Him in the highest esteem and complete honor in the way that we interact with Him, the way that we treat Him, and His name. And also, we are to serve the Lord in godly fear. So, we're not to fear anything else. Matter of fact, doesn't the Bible say not to fear? You know, we think about all the times when He said, for example, to Joshua, "Fear not." He said to David, "Fear not." Even to Isaiah, over and over, God says, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." We're not to fear. We're not to fear man. We're not to fear the devil. Why? Because we have the Lord. So we're not to be afraid of any of those things, but we are to fear God. And yes, it's not just talking about fearing His chastisement, but it means complete and utter respect, honor, and reverence for our God. In other words, putting Him first. His commandments, His Word, His Holy Spirit should always be in the forefront of our walk and protect us from sin. And He finishes by saying, verse 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." That finishes the chapter. God is a consuming fire. We were talking in there earlier how the world is all afraid of global warming, but they're not afraid of hell. The devil's pretty crafty, isn't he? Go to 2 Thessalonians, where the Bible teaches that sure enough, God is going to use fire in His judgment. God doesn't just use fire. As we read, God is a consuming fire. That's the power of God. Notice 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." We get to 2 Peter, the Bible says, "The heavens shall pass away and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." God promised not to flood the earth, but He's going to burn it up. Because our God is a consuming fire. And of course we know that the end of those who physically die, spiritually dead, is fire. The lake of fire. Again, we should be so grateful that we aren't going to the lake of fire because of what Christ did. It should just generate that much more reverence for our God and how wonderful and amazing He is. So God is encouraging us here to serve Him because we have this kingdom that cannot be moved, because He's also a consuming fire. We need to serve Him with reverence, complete reverence. Our prayer time needs to be complete reverence. And yes, it's good to talk to God as if He's your friend, but we need to be careful that we maintain that right relationship, that He's God and we're man, In other words, reverence and then fear. Putting him first and fearing the consequences of disobedience. Both of them are just as applicable. That's how we're to serve God, reverence and godly fear, because he's a consuming fire. So what a good reminder of how we're to serve the Lord. Let's pray.